Being willing to jump in and not with a lot of time together, just jump in and start singing. That's a blessing. All right, if you're ready for the Word of God, stand with me this morning if you can stand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I am going to do something kind of weird today. You're like, yeah, what else to do? For those that know me, but I'm going to preach about preaching. So we'll see how this goes, but I think it's important to understand why we do what we do. I think religion is filled with people that don't ask questions about why. Why is it that we're doing what we're doing? Why are we gathered together? Why not just watch everything online? Why this? Why do we have our kids sing? And why do we have an offering time? And why do we have music? And why do we sing together instead of having the band sing and everybody else just watches? And asking why is not a bad thing, all right? Matter of fact, I would say this. Why may be the best question that you could ask yourself. As a matter of fact, I would go a little step further. When you stand before God, if you're saved this morning, when you stand before Jesus Christ at his judgment seat, all right, and that's different, listen to me, that's different than the great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you will never have to face judgment about whether or not you are saved, amen? Thank God for that. But if you're saved, you will stand before the Lord, and the question will not just be, what did you do? It'll be, why did you do it? And this morning, I want to get to you, I just leave you with a thought about why is it that God chose to do this thing called preaching. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, fake ones or real ones. All right? No divisions. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? The implication is no, he's not. Was Paul crucified for you? No, he was not. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, they were not. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, you've got to admit this, preaching is weird, guys. From the world's perspective, watching someone stand up and talk about God and get excited for 30, 45 minutes, you guys are like, yeah, 30, 45 minutes. Whatever it might be, all right? You know what? That's weird to the world. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It may be weird to the world, but God likes it. We're going to talk about God's preference for preaching this morning. Brother Jose, if you'd open us up in a word of prayer, sir.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you again for another beautiful morning, Lord. Another day of life that we can come and worship you and serve you, Lord. I just thank you for the wonderful spirit that's in here already, Lord. It's just so great, Lord, getting together with others, Lord, and just raising up your son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord. And just thanking you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given us, Father. I pray now, Lord, that you just open up our eyes, Lord, that we can see just the importance of preaching, Lord, why we need it, Lord, what the purpose of it is,
yeah.
Father. And I just use that you, and I pray that you use Pastor now, Lord, and his, in the seat that you placed him in, Lord, to do that for us and to just transmit the information that we need from you, Father. Just pray you bless him now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. As you're seated, let me just tell you, the Corinthian church was not known for being the most spiritually minded church. As a matter of fact, the Corinthian church was known for being carnal. And we learned in Sunday school that doesn't always mean worldly, it means living by the flesh. And what you find out in the first chapter, the very first chapter, I mean, think about this. If I'm writing a letter to a church and right off the bat I'm going, you guys are wrong. There's something wrong with the church. I mean, he doesn't. No, more times than not, there's this nice, flowery, you know, entrance, and Paul doesn't just spend as much time doing that as much as he does going right in the fact that, hey, we've got a problem here, and the problem we have is that we're divided, and there's all kinds of competing ideologies, and you want to stand out, and you want to stand out, and everyone has a new psalm and a new doctrine and a new thing they want to push, and everyone wants to be the teacher, and everyone wants to be the leader, and you guys are carnal, and you're divided, and Paul addresses that in chapter 1. In chapter 5, he addresses an issue that is so disgusting and vile. He says, look, the Gentiles shouldn't even be talking about this. And later on in the book, he talks about the fact that, listen, you guys have this problem with trying to show each other up, and you think by speaking in tongues, you're going to prove that you're spiritual. I mean, through the whole entire book, he's telling them, hey, quit living by your own ideology. Quit living in the past mindset, the Greco-Roman mindset, which was about philosophy and what I think and what I like and pleasure for me, and think about what God likes. Get your mind in a different place than it is right now. You know why Sunday morning is so important for you? It may be the only time of the week where someone gets up and tells you to quit thinking about you. Yeah. Now, that doesn't sound, that sounds kind of offensive. And preacher, why are you preaching at me? Have you ever noticed that the world goes, why are you preaching at me? You ever notice that? You could say something about the love of God and be so nice and kind, and they go, why are you preaching at me? And I want to respond like this, because you look like this. Trying to help you smile and live a better life, you know, live your best life, you know. You need to know Jesus Christ. We preach the gospel, and there's no doubt that what Paul is addressing is, look, you guys are over here and over here and over here, based on what college or Bible school you like or this preacher that you like. And he goes, look, stop all of that and let's get behind one central thing. And he says this, there's no doubt the gospel is central to the message. There's no doubt about that. But I want you to understand the vehicle that God uses to get the gospel out is preaching. It's not rapping. It's not, you know, sitting down and, you know, giving you a nice, sitting on a little platform and kind of tell you my thoughts and what are your thoughts and let's talk about your thoughts and all of our opinions matter. It's preaching. You know what preaching is? That Webster's 1828 says to inculcate in public discourse. You're like, can you define inculcate? I'll be glad to do that. It means to drive or to force on, to impress by frequent admonitions, to teach and enforce by frequent repetitions, to urge in the mind. Listen, I am now 40 years old. I've crested the hill, my friends. And now I look down and I see the youth of our generation coming behind us, and I realize they're not growing up in the same world. And that's actually true. And let me go a step further and say, the church is not what it used to be either. It used to be that people understood you went to church to get right with God. You know what that meant? Someone was going to get up and say, you are wrong. And if you want to get right, here's the way. If you went to the doctor and you had cancer, and he's like, looks like you're a pretty good guy to me. I don't know. Nothing wrong with you. I mean, you look good. Yeah, that's... Well, aren't you going to throw any scans? I've been vomiting blood. I know. But people that tell you there's something wrong, they're just fear mongers. Yeah. They don't really want you to. I mean, just don't listen to them. You look good to me. And you go home and in 6 months you die. Man, there would be some lawsuits going on. And yet, Christians, you get born again. You receive Christ as your Savior. And the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And then there's a new life that God wants you to have. And when the preacher gets up and says, this is what God says. You know what the resistance is inside of you? You know why I know? Because I've sat where you sat. And when a big Italian guy named Paul Ainello would get up and stomp around like this, and he would say, this is what needs to change in your life from the Word of God, I would go, who does he think he is? Now, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I think it. You know what preaching's supposed to do? It's supposed to change you. Nothing wrong with coming as you are, but don't leave as you came. You know, you might say we are in the last days of the church. And if you look at the description, anyways, of how God describes the last period of church history, it involves a mindset, a philosophy, a spirit, if you will, of I want what makes me comfortable. I'm concerned about my rights. I'm concerned about what makes me feel good. I'm concerned about what I like. I'm concerned about my preferences. And if you cross any of that, I'm out of here. You know what that is? It's called Laodicean mindset. It is the rights of the people. Do you know what Paul says? When he talks about perilous times shall come, he says men shall be lovers of their own selves. You know what comes first in the society in which we live? Me, myself, and I. And that mindset, if we are not careful, it is spilling into the church. Maybe not necessarily New Heights Baptist, but the church at large. And if we're not careful in our own lives, yes, it can spill into here. I want what I want. I want my preferences. I want what makes me feel good. And let me just say right now, guys, this morning I was giving my kids some all-natural, organic, you know, foo-foo stuff to make them, you know, boost immune, whatever it is. And I'm putting the drops in, you know, and not one of my kids said thank you. I know. How dare they? Elderberry syrup, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Elderberry gummies? I mean, hallelujah. Gummies, you know, but none of them were like, yay, I can't wait to have some elderberry syrup. You know why? Because it just doesn't taste as good as gummy bears, does it? Some things taste good going down, but they do nothing for you on the inside. And some things taste awful going down, but if you receive it the right way, it can do miracles in your life. You say, what is that? That's called Bible preaching. And I need to make this very clear. When you got saved, what the Lord did, the Spirit of God came inside of you, and he started showing you, man, maybe I've been doing this wrong my whole life. This whole marriage thing, I didn't handle it the right way. The raising the kids thing, we weren't doing that right. And little by little, God shows you, hey, let's do it my way. Because my way is the best way for your life. You know how God delivers that? You know how God brings that into your life? Through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And I'll be very clear this morning. This is not a message for job security for Pastor Adrian. Okay, I want to make that very clear. All right? The reality is this. It's not about the person. It's about the vehicle, the scriptural vehicle that God uses. If tomorrow I kick the bucket and God allows you to bring another preacher, you need to make sure he preaches the Word of God. That's the vehicle that will carry truth into your life that will help you. I'm not saying it's the only one. You ought to be in your Bibles. But let me just say this. I can flip this both ways. If the only time you open your Bible is when you're here at church, the only viewpoint of God you will have is mine. Let me flip it the other way. If the only time you open your Bible is on your own, the only viewpoint you have of God is yours. Do you know why God put a church in your life? To balance you out. You know, if you're married, you see that very vividly, right? You know, you got a visionary. We can do this, and we can do this. And then you got someone's like, okay, well, we need to plan this out. You can guess which is which, right? I'm like, doesn't matter. You know, throw caution to the wind. God told us to do it. Let's go. She's like, yeah, but things need to be done decently and in order. Okay, all right, fine. And the Lord's like, see, I gave you her for a reason, you know? You say, what? Balance you out a little bit. Do you understand what the purpose is in regards to preaching? Listen, it is clear from the passage that preaching is not man's choice. I mean, look if you would at verse number 18. You know what it is to the world? Foolishness. Listen, if you're here right now and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a chance, I'm not saying it's happened yet, but there's a chance you might go, man, this is weird. I am stuck in this pew and I can't walk out. But if I had a way out, I'd get out. And you say, why? Because this, what we're doing right now is strange to the world. This is not man's choice. It's God's choice. But think about this. God chose a shepherd boy to kill a giant. God chose an educated, listen to this, let's just call Moses, college educated. Is that okay? Because he was educated and trained by the best teachers in Egypt. I mean, all the science and all the philosophy and all the different gods that they worship. Moses knew about all that stuff. And God takes that guy, puts him on the backside of the desert, and turns this college guy into a shepherd, and then takes that shepherd and turns him into a prophet and a preacher and leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. That makes no sense. Can I just say this? What God chooses doesn't always make sense. God's people get hungry and he goes, boom, bread from heaven. They complain and God goes, boom, earth open up. Right? I mean, think about this. If you're up there, I mean, think about Noah's flood. I mean, imagine, like, God's up there in heaven, the angels are like, God, you've got to do something. What are we going to do? And God's like, flood. And then toward the end of man's time on the earth, they're up there going, okay, things are about wrapped up. What are we going to do? Fire. The whole thing's gone. Starting over. You see, God, to us, doesn't always make sense. His ways are not our, can we be honest about that? His ways are not our ways. Can I say it like this? God chose prophets to stand up and preach the word. He did not send angels to preach the message to all of mankind. It was preachers that he sent. You say, why is that? I don't know, but he likes it. I know that much. God chose to bring salvation through a baby being born in a manger. I've had people tell me, well, if God was really real, and he had just revealed himself to me, I'm like, well, he did. Well, I don't like that. I mean, I just want to show up and, like, spray paint, like, tag the sky for me, you know? Like, put a big old 303, and I know God's talking to me about Denver, you know, or something like that. I don't know, but I know if God was real, he would show up in a different kind of way. Based on what? Do you understand? If you want the mind and thoughts of God, you don't go anywhere else but right here. And let me just say this, just throw this out there. Why would you ever read a book about a book you're not reading? Or why would you get a book about a subject that's this detailed in the Bible when you're not believing what God's already shown you about that subject? This is the source. And you go, well, then anyone can have it. Nobody needs a preacher. I didn't make this thing up. I know this much. God sent preachers. Look at Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Listen, if you're not saved, you know what you need to do today? Be saved. You go, does that mean I need to join this church or, like, I don't know, get baptized or quit doing bad stuff? It's none of that. You say, well, I know what it is. I need to have my good works outweigh my bad works. Listen, that doesn't work either. Here's why. Because God does not take you and judge you against your bad works or your good works. God takes you and judges you against a man that never sinned. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Which one of us could with a straight face go, I was tempted in all points and I never sinned? But he did. And when you stand before God, he'll measure you against a sinless man. You know what you need to do? You need to receive him today. You need to trust him as your Savior. You need to receive the gospel truth, which is that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again. Listen, there are a number of lives in this room that have been touched by the gospel message, but I can say this, not everyone that got saved the first time they heard it. Most of you that got saved here did not get saved the first time you heard it. It was one message after another message, and eventually it was like the lights just got turned on. You say, why is that? The Bible says precept upon precept, line upon line. There is so much of the world's junk in our minds that God has to go in and just clean it out one section at a time. Romans chapter 10. You know what the Bible says here in verse 10? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. For whosoever, I love this promise of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not like I hope I get saved. I think I might get saved. I'm trying to be saved. You're either saved or you're not. You've either accepted, he that hath the Son hath life. I love it when people say, that book is so archaic, I don't understand it. Watch this. He that hath the Son hath life. One syllable words. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The whole verse is right there, one syllable words the whole way through. You know what that means? You either have Jesus Christ or you don't. You either know him as your Savior or you don't. You're either lost or you're saved. There is no in-between. Do you know how that is made clear? Look, if you would, at verse number 15. I'm sorry, verse number 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? Without a preacher. Well, I don't know. I think preaching is kind of old-fashioned. Yeah? Yeah, it is. So is breathing air. So is sunshine. And so is giving your kids a, you know, board of education and applying it to the seat of knowledge, but it still works. You understand what I'm saying? There are some things that are old-fashioned, but they're good for you. And it just so happens to be that preaching is one of them. The Bible says that in the book of Acts, there was a group of believers. And it was a household of people that met there for church. They had no church buildings. You guys think our situation is tough, and man, we need a bigger space. And by the way, I counted, there's about four families not here today. They're traveling and out of different places. Everyone here at one time, boy, it's tight. And normally we have some folks downstairs, and maybe if someone's down there right now, thanks for being down there, whatever the case might be. Here's what I know. We want more space, but can you imagine meeting in somebody's house? My kids are like, yes, I can, because we did. Yeah, you know? But beyond, I mean, imagine this. Listen, I read a story this week about a house in Houston, Texas. I don't know if you heard about this or not. It was a big human trafficking ring that they busted in Houston, Texas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? 90 people found in one house. Abysmal, dark, terrible stuff going on. Terrible, terrible. But can you imagine cramming a bunch of people like us right now into one house to worship God for a good thing? As wonderful as that sounds, as fun as that sounds, I love you. But not that much. You know what they had? They had a group of people meeting in the house of Jason. You know what the Bible says about that house? They turned the world upside down. How does a house turn the world upside down? By preaching truth. It flips things around. It moves things. I'll never forget, my pastor for many years, or about 5 years in Tennessee, Brother Paul Lionello, good friend. And I watched him go through some hard stuff, and he stuck with it. And he's an evangelist now and great preacher. I'll never forget one time he came to church and he told us a story. And a lot of his stories start like this. I was at Starbucks when we had that common love and you know, together, that passion for coffee. And he says, I was sitting at Starbucks talking with Brother Randy. Brother Randy was one of the deacons. So imagine me and Brother James are sitting down at Starbucks. We're talking about some stuff in the church. And a guy overhears the situation. He goes, are you guys Christians? And he goes, yeah, I'm a pastor, and this is my deacon, Randy. And he starts introducing me, start talking, and the guy goes, oh, man, let me just tell you about my church. And he names the church, and he goes, it's awesome. And he goes, yeah, well, what's so awesome about it? He says, man, the music is mind-blowing. He says, man, when you walk in, it's like, it's kind of like an experience. They dim the lights, and they got the lights just perfect, and the music is playing, and man, it just really pulls at your heart. It's just awesome. And he starts describing, you know, the guitar player, Brother Steon, is awesome. And the band is awesome, and the singers are awesome, and the lighting is awesome. And my pastor at the time, Brother Lionel, goes, hey, I have a question. What about the preaching? And he goes, oh, well, we're still working on that. Hey, can I say this? That's why we're here. And I mean this as graciously. I don't mean to beat my chest, but as long as God allows me to have breath and he allows me to pastor this church, that is what we are going to be here for the preaching of the Word of God to change your life. Jonah preached. The church preached. Philip preached. Paul preached. As a matter of fact, go with me to Acts chapter 20. I think some of you need to see this. Because some of you think after 45 minutes we should be done. Acts chapter 20. Some of you are like, yeah, so what? That's right. Amen. Acts chapter, I got one. Thank you. Acts chapter 20. Look, if you would, at verse number 8. There were many lights in the upper chamber. Now, I got to remind you guys, this is not 21st century. This is first century. So the many lights are probably candles that are being lit. There were many lights, the Bible says, in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he, Eutychus, sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. We don't have time to read the rest of the story. Some of you that don't know the story, I can tell you what happened. They buried him out back, and no one ever fell asleep in church again. I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. It's not what happened. They brought him back to life. Paul raised him from the dead. It's an awesome story. And you know what happens after that? Interestingly enough, look if you would at verse number 11. And when he was therefore come again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of... You would think if someone fell out of a loft and died, you'd be like, I should probably wrap it up. He's talking, all of a sudden, poof. Paul, we got a problem. And Paul goes there, he raised him back up. And he's like I was saying, point number 47. He went back to preaching till the breaking of the day. Some of you did some stuff, if you're honest, that you never want to face at the judgment. And thank God it's under the blood of Jesus Christ if you're saved. But you did some stuff till the breaking of the day. Wouldn't it be nice to do that till the breaking of the day? You say, what did Paul do? He preached. Can I say the greatest man that ever lived, the greatest human being that ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ, preached. The Bible says Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, watch it, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You say, what does that teach you? Teaching and preaching are not the same. I can teach you through preaching, but it is possible for me to teach without preaching. And I'm going to tell you right now, the church at large today, they don't mind teaching. Educate me, inform me, enlighten my intellect. But don't you dare point your finger at me and say, it's the problem is with you and with how you're thinking, and you better change. And if you don't, you're going to have a hardship coming ahead. There'll be consequences. I don't like that stuff. Stop. You say, what is that? That's preaching. The Bible says that when Jesus showed up and started talking to the Pharisees about John the Baptist, he said, what went you out in the wilderness for to see? Well, what were you coming for anyways? I mean, did you come to see a show? Did you come to get your intellect enlightened? I mean, John the Baptist, guys, I know his last name is the Baptist, okay? But I have a feeling he would not be welcome in a lot of Baptist churches. You say, why is that? He probably wouldn't even dress like this. You say, why? He's not Puerto Rican, okay? He's not. I need my hat, Brother Sean. I need that hat, you know. But all joking aside, do you realize John the Baptist shows up and he's wearing camel hair? I have a feeling he didn't find that at the Park Meadows Mall. And he smells. And the first stinking word out of his mouth, it's not welcome. I'm so glad you came today. I'm glad you passed other churches and you decided to be with us. If you would, here's your welcome packet. And if you don't mind filling out that visitor card and dropping the plate, you know what he does? Day one, all the crowd show. I mean, if a bunch of people showed up as a young preacher. I mean, if you're a young preacher, you want to see people get saved, you're excited, and this big crowd forms. You know, you're like, man, they're coming. I gotta tell them I'm glad you're here. And you know, the first word out of his mouth when everybody shows up, repent. I mean, I can't imagine being that guy. It's like, you know, it's like everyone's shaking hands. You know, it's good to have you. And he just gets up and says, he's like, wait, I don't remember my message. Oh, I can always fall back on this. Repent! I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have a feeling that if John the Baptist showed up today, he would not be welcome in most churches. I mean, where's the welcome packet? Where's the greeting? Where's the nice soft chairs? And where's the nice band? And where's the music? And I don't feel welcome. I just came out in the middle of the desert. There's no food. There's no water. There's no welcome committee. There's no one telling me where I put my kids in nursery. I'm coming here. I'm coming out of my way. And all the preacher says is repent. You say, why? Because God didn't call slick talkers or educators, he called preachers. Isaiah says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. You see, it's not that there's this angry, like, God who hasn't had his coffee in the morning yet, that's like, ah, I want to kill all of them. No, that's not how it goes. That God, the God of the Bible, cares about the souls he designed and created for a specific purpose, and when they're not living to that purpose, as the nation of Israel was not, he sends someone to warn them. If your house was on fire, and I came by, Brother Jose, I got to clarify, you got to look in a certain direction. There's Jose, there's Sean and Sean, there's, I don't think we have two Ollies yet. We might have two Joes. We got a couple Chris's. We got a couple Isaacs. Got a couple Ethans. All right. But Brother Jose, if I went by your, sorry, that was pastoral ADD. Forgive me. Wait, what was I saying? Repent! That's it. I got it. If I went by Brother Jose's house, and I was like, hey, brother. It's the middle of the night. Hey, brother. I don't want to be offensive, but if it's not too much to ask, I mean, and the flames are around his house. And I'm like, hey, brother, I just want and he dies in that fire. You know what the problem was? I didn't want to wake him up. I didn't want to offend him. I didn't want to, like, make him feel awkward. Hey, your house is on fire. Those beautiful little doggies that you love so much, you got to get them out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So a preacher gets up. This is modern Christianity in a nutshell. Hey. Like a dog. Let's just pretend Ethan's a dog. Is that okay? Can you do that for just a second? You're the cutest dog I ever met, buddy. I'm going to put a bullet in your head. Yes, I am. And the dog just wags his tail. And you say, hey, I love you. And the dog puts his tail between his legs and goes like this. That's modern Christians. You tell them truth, and if you raise your voice, you know what's happened, guys? I don't mean to be cynical when I say this, and I'm not trying to bring up the fact that I'm older now. But I'm just saying, the generation that we are raising is so soft. You know why coaches and teachers have a hard problem? Because we told Johnny and Susie, you're special, and the world revolves around you, and you deserve it. Instead of telling them, life is going to be hard. It's going to knock you on your can, and you got to get back up. No one owes you anything. Quit whining. Quit complaining. The world owes you nothing. You're not a victim. You can be a victor. Come on, let's go. Amen. They need that. Do you know what preaching is? That's preaching. You know what modern Christianity does? Well, you see here in this passage, the word submit, ladies, it doesn't actually mean submit. In the original Greek, I've heard this before. You say, why? Got to keep them coming. Got to keep them shelling out the dough. I love a church that's full, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and I'm not saying that just to say it. I look around the room. I don't know all of you very well. I understand that. But I love you. Love your soul. I can say that with confidence. I care about you, and I want you to understand this. I'm not here for your money. Whether you give or not, it's up to you. So guess what? We're not going to base how we preach and what we preach based on how is this going to affect tithing. We have zero debt as of right now. You know what? I like to keep that there as long as possible. You know what I've watched churches do? They get in this hole financially, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, preacher, I think you went a little too hard on that. Can you lighten up? Don't say that because, you know, that sister feels about that, how she feels about that subject, and she gives a lot of money. Let me tell you right now, I don't know what anyone in this room gives, and I have told those two money guys, if you ever tell me, I'm killing you. I don't want to know. You know why? I want to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and tell, and just leave you what God has for your life and let God work in your life. Let me say this, preaching, because the word sermon, some of you might know this from the class we did, gentlemen, on preparing sermons. Some of you may remember this. You know what the word sermon, it's from a Latin root. You know what it means? To stab or to thrust. So sometimes you come to church, you're like, preacher, my husband needs this, not me. Can I get a witness, ladies? Come on. Yep, yep. You understand? Listen, the truth may hurt. It's meant to be intentional. It's meant to be pointed. It's meant to be loud. It's meant to be revealing. And at times, I understand it can be irritating. But it was God's choice and God's preference. Let me say that there is a priority found. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. There is a priority for preaching. See what he mean by that? Well, I want you to notice what Paul says. He says this in verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus. So can we, before we go further, can we agree on this fact? He did baptize people. Okay, that's intellectually honest. He baptized people. And then I want you to notice what he says in verse 17. So is Paul, by admission, breaking some kind of commandment from God? Or is he simply saying, the first thing that I'm here for is not for numbers and see how many I can dunk, but to preach the gospel? That's kind of what I get out of that. What I get out of this is there is a priority here. Listen, the Bible says in the last days, and I believe we're close to it, if not there, that there is going to be a famine in the land that God sends. Not for food and not for water. I know some of you are going, man, I read this thing about this Bitcoin thing, and who knows what's going to happen there, and the stock market's going to take a plunge, and so I bought 20 years of frozen food. It's buried in my vault downstairs. You know, it's that space food. You add water, and it, you know, and it feeds five people or whatever. Hey, whatever, more power to you, but that's not the kind of famine I'm talking about. He says a famine for hearing the words of God. Now, I want you to notice in Amos, if you were to read that entire passage in Amos chapter 8, it was a different famous Amos. This guy did not make cookies, right? But in Amos chapter 8, the Bible says that God is the one that sent that famine. And furthermore, it doesn't say there was a famine in the land because there were no preachers. The famine was based on those not hearing. You say, what are you trying to say? There's a famine of hearing, no doubt. And if I could take a little liberty with the passage, while it doesn't say that there's a famine of preaching, I would say today, I know Christians that are starving on the vine. They're saved. They're part of the vine, but boy, they are just malnourished. You know why? Because preachers are more concerned about the pocketbook than they are the people. You need preaching. There is a priority for preaching. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Driving and teaching, you know, teenagers how to drive, you know, which is just never, don't do it. Just don't do it. Say we raise the driving age to 40. What do you guys think? You got to teach them about blind spots though, right? We all have blind spots. And at times, it's easy to get driving and go, oh, I look at that mirror, I'm good. Don't do that on I-70. Yeah, I wouldn't do that on I-70. You know why? Because there are people that do this. Vroom, 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 vroom. Yes. Welcome to Denver. It's awful. Traffic. Traffic. Yeah, okay. I mean, I-25, you know, people just, you just don't, you know what you have to do? You have to acknowledge that even though there's a mirror there, there are blind spots. The Bible likens the Word of God to a mirror. And there's not a blind spot in this mirror, but there's a blind spot here. And there are times where I can read the Word of God, and I don't see something because it's about me. Oh, I can get all the verses about my wife. They're right there. Yep, yep. And the ones for my kids and the ones for you, those are easy to find. The ones for me are a little harder. Amen. Amen. So do you know what I need? I need a preacher. Amen. You say, well, how do you do it? I mean, you're the one that's running your mouth for an hour at a time. Let me just tell you, outside of this church, I have to have preaching, and this is not how I do it. What subject do I want to learn about today? I find a preacher that I know will rip my face off in the name of Jesus, hand it back to me looking new, and go, try this on for size. I got one, it's his former pastor in Florida, and boy, I soaked that up. You know why? Because I need it. There's a priority for preaching. You know, with God, there's priorities in certain areas. You understand that? You know what Peter says? Peter says, I would like to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. One of our children, I didn't mean to point, but one of our children left a bottle of chocolate milk in the car. Yeah. And when I ordered, Mom exited the car for a brief moment to use the restroom and come back, and in that short amount of time, I ordered something bad for the children from McDonald's. And I got chocolate milk for them, and one of them left it in the car through the weekend, and we've had some warmer days lately. Right. You open that lid up. Oof. Ooh de funk. Do you know what happens when something sits for a long time and doesn't move? It kind of curdles. By the way, is anybody else hot right now? Let's take a poll. Who's hot? Who's cold? Civil War all over again. There we go. All right. Listen, if you're hot, fan yourself. Don't take anything off, please. If you're cold, put more layers on. That's all I got for you. You know what happens when you leave something sitting for a long time? It just curls and it stinks. You know what preaching is meant to do in your life? To stir you up. And to get stuff moving that wasn't moving before. You know what? That God says, this is how I want this done. This is a priority for me. Let me just say this in your life as a believer. Before you figure out anything else about the church you're going to be a part of, make sure they preach the word of God. Number one priority. Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't care about the kids' programs and do they have this and that, but I'm going to tell you right now, God has blessed our church. We started with nothing. No Sunday school, no kids' programs, no nursery. And you know what God did? I kept thinking, God, what about this? And what about this? And a family comes, they go, do you have this and this and this? I'm like, so we're meeting in my house. We'd like you to come. But you know what God blesses? He blesses the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You know why? It's his priority. What's your priority in life? Is anywhere in that week, man, I got to get what God has for me. Not for my spouse, not for my kids. Lord, I need this. It's like the old cookbook where they talk about making rabbit stew. You know what the first instruction is? First, you must catch the rabbit. Some of you are like, oh, no, the poor baby bunny. I know what some of you are thinking right now. Hey, listen, first you must catch the rabbit. You know why? Priority number one. That's your priority. You don't catch the rabbit, you don't eat. Hey, listen, if you don't get preaching in your life, there are things about your character and things about your life that will never be revealed. Some of you are going, Pastor, why are you preaching this? I mean, I'm here. Yeah. But I've been doing this a while. I'm not mentioning this because I'm 40 now. But I am 40. Love you, Miss T. Didn't even have to look. I knew with that voice. But I've been watching this a while, and you know what I've learned? I've learned that, remember that, I don't mean to bring back bad memories for some of you, okay? But anyone that ever got into drinking, you know the first time you drank something, it was kind of gross. Yeah. And the first thing that went through your mind is, why do adults like this? Everybody convinced you it's the thing to do. Right. So you kept doing it, you developed a taste for it. Yeah. If you've ever done something called a Whole 30, which is 30 days without sugar, right? It's kind of proof for over there in the Bible where Jesus addresses that man that has the devil and he says, I am legion for we are many. Try telling your body no sugar, right? You go, how do you live? I mean, sugar is in everything. It's in toothpaste, for crying out loud. Like, why do they want to put it in toothpaste? You can't eat it. You know what happens over time? You develop a taste for things. And if you are able to tell yourself, this is good for me, kale. Look, unless you fry it and batter it, and I don't know it's kale, I probably don't want it. You say, why? I have not developed a taste for kale. Have you developed a taste for the Word of God in your life, even if the delivery is not one that you would necessarily want? There's a priority for preaching. In God's eyes, you know what he says? I'm not sending angels. I'm not spray painting the sky. I'm sending preachers with a message. Can I talk to you about the power of preaching? Go back to our passage. Look, if you would, at verse number 18. To those that perish, it's foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Notice what he says. Look, if you would, he talks about base things in this passage. And he talks about mighty things. And he talks about foolishness. And he talks about the wise and the weak versus the strong. And then I think about the maniac of Gadara. This man had strength and he had power, but it was a power that was over him and he had no control of it. That's not the kind of power we're talking about. We're talking about a power in your life that changes you from the inside out and takes you from being someone that's out of control to sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning his word. Can I give you some examples? Is that okay this morning? I've been collecting some things that people have said. I don't mean to embarrass anybody, but this is good stuff. Somebody wrote, and this is someone in our church, what is her problem? Sometimes certain things make me want to be the old me. The one that would be like, look here, so-and-so. I don't know what your problem is. I'm just making this PG, okay? But we could step outside and solve it. You know what this person said? But that's not me anymore. That solves nothing. After a fight would break out, the artificial satisfaction of hurting someone doesn't really make anything any better inside. You are still angry. The person you fight with is still angry. You both will still be hurt. The problem doesn't get solved. I am a mom. I am a sister in Christ. I love this. I am ladylike now. Amen. I don't curse, I don't fight, and I should solve problems by looking at myself in the mirror first. I should talk it out and remember the love and compassion there was for each other. I should remember that God said we are to forbear one another in love. Instead of asking what her problem is in a catty way, I should ask with care, how can we fix this? Baby steps of changing, I like that. Amen. You say, what is that? That's a testimony of how the Word of God changes your life. Someone else wrote this, after hearing about Abraham and Isaac, I realized I needed to make God first more and more and everything else come after. You say, why? Preaching. Young lady who's not here this morning coming up to me outside in the snow saying, before I leave for military, I want to learn how to lead somebody to Christ. You say, what is that? Preaching. Amen. It's not this. It's not me. It's the Word of God going out in the people's lives and changing them from the inside out. I love this because Isaac, at my birthday party, got up and said that, you know, before I got saved, I wanted to be a doctor and make a lot. I got all these people from work here, so I love this. He goes, I want to make a lot of money and be a doctor, and now I know God just wants me to be a preacher, and I just thought, I wonder what's going through their mind. And that must have struck a chord with people that have nothing else to live for but what is here right now. And he said, you know what? I want to follow God and be whatever he wants me to be. And I know, Isaac, your story's not written yet, but I'm going to say this. There's been a change in that young man's life. You say, why? The preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Going out and receiving it. It has to work that way. There's a sender, there's a transmitter, and it's not just me. It's the Word of God going out, and it's you receiving it. Amen. How about this? Someone said, we've been able to see like 97%. The math may be off, but I like it anyways. We've been able to see about 97% of my family get saved because of this church and the preaching of the Word of God. See, what is that? Lives being changed. The power to transform and enlighten and rescue and purge you comes from the preaching of the Word of God. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Samuel chapter number 12. I read a poll that was taken, decades ago. And in that poll that was taken decades ago, 81% of the American people say they agree that an individual should arrive at his or her own religious belief independent of any church. You know what that means? I don't want preaching. I find my own truth. Let me just say this. You don't have your own truth. And I don't have my own truth. There is truth and there's falsehood. My job is to align my life with truth. And I don't claim it as, this is mine. I'm claiming it as mine in the sense that I want it, not that I'm the one that defines it. 2 Samuel chapter 12. You might remember what happens in chapter 11. If you don't, I'll help you. A good man, a man that the Bible says in the book of Acts, was a man after God's own heart. A man named David. I'll give you the truncated version. He commits adultery with a woman and has her husband killed. Would you say that's pretty bad? Yes. Would you say that maybe as good of a man as he was, he had a blind spot? I love that after chapter, this is not deep, but I love that after chapter 11, there's a chapter 12. I'm glad that wasn't the end of David. In chapter 12, do you know what the Lord does? Look, if you would, at verse number 1. The Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up and grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, implying something was stolen wrongfully from somebody else, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan just says in the next verse, David, thou art the man. Do you realize if that doesn't happen, David continues to spiral out of control? And David has a choice. David could go, how dare you preach at me like that? Do you know who I am? I am the king. You work for me. Like Saul did. Or he could say, I have sinned. But can I point out to you? Intellectual question for you. Could the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, have dealt with David in a different way? Do you think maybe the reason why he brought the preacher was because the only way he would have acknowledged it was another person getting in front of him and saying, thou art the man. See, he had some blind spots in his life. If you've never been born again, can I say this? You might be a good person and you might look at yourself and go, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I don't deserve to go to hell. I'm not that bad of a person. You've got a blind spot. The blind spot is Jesus Christ himself. Because if you look at yourself and you look at him and you acknowledge you have lied. Yes, you have lied. And you have looked at things that you shouldn't look at. And you've dwelt on things you shouldn't dwell on. And you've used God's name in vain. The list goes on. Yes, I'm guilty before God. And when I look at Jesus Christ, I go, man, I do not compare to him. That was my blind spot. I'm glad a preacher got up when I was 12 years old at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp and said, Adrian, you're on your way to hell without Jesus Christ. Don't lie to me. Don't deceive me. Give me the truth, even if it breaks me. A painful truth is better than a pleasant lie. The guy that writes a bunch of books for the corporate world about empathy and about leadership said, it is better to disappoint people with the truth than to appease them with a lie. How about this? We swallow greedily any lie that flatters us, but we sip only little by little at a truth that we find bitter. Can I convince you of why this is important? The truth hurts like a thorn at first, but in the end it blossoms like a rose. The power of preaching your life to change you. Look, if you would, at our passage in verse number 18, I want you to see this contrast between those that perish and those that are saved in verse 18. Between that which is wise and that which is nothing in verse 19. In verse 20, look at the wise, the scribe, the disputer of the world. Now look at verse 21. After the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There's this, I don't know, this parting of the ways, if you will. When preaching goes out, God goes, okay, this is where the world looks and goes, that's foolish. And I look at it and I go, that's wise. If there's a parting of the ways that takes place when preaching goes out. The world looks at it and they go, man, this is crazy. It doesn't make sense. How does this work for anybody? If you're here right now and you're going, when is this done? Versus someone that's going, I needed this. Amen. Do you understand? What I'm getting at is this. God goes, okay, I'm going to use this vehicle because it splits right down the middle, and I can look and I can go, yep, they call it foolishness, I call it wise. Can I say this? We live in a day and age when Christians don't want to be separated. They don't want anyone to point them out as Christians. I want to be accepted. Let me just say this. You don't want to be accepted with where the world's headed right now. You know, Moses comes down off the mountaintop. He's excited. You know, he's talked to God, and he's had his time alone with God. And he comes down the mountain, and his deacon approaches him and says, there's a church split. He hears the music, and he sees the dancing. And you know the story. There's a golden calf. And how did this calf show up? Aaron's like, dude, I have no idea. They gave me their gold, I threw it in the fire, and boom, this cow came out. If you read the passage, it's about how it goes. You know what Moses ends up doing? Moses ends up going, hey guys, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. And do whatever you want over there. Who's on the Lord's side?
Amen. That's right.
If you're on the Lord's side, come here. You know what Moses did when he got down there? He preached at all of them. He was the party wrecker. He was literally the party pooper. He shows up and goes, guys, this is not right. And everyone's like, man, we were having a good time till that guy showed up.
Amen.
It parted everything, though. See why? Preaching helps you stay in the lines. You young people, when you start driving, you'll notice this. You'll tend to gravitate toward the right side of the road. When cars come at you, anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. It's not by nodding, you're not admitting anything of guilt or anything like that. And you just tend to kind of veer this way. I know my kids have done it. I'm like, hey, it's just a little bit more to the center. Yeah, but they're coming at me. I'm like, trust me, you got the room. You're in the middle of the lane right now. Stay right where you're supposed to be. You know why they put those rumble strips in the side? You know why that is? Anybody ever driven for long periods of time? Oh, man, when I was a missionary on deputation, man, I tell you what. I would get real tired, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm awake again. Do you know what preaching is kind of like? It's kind of like that. Hey, get back in your lane. Well, God puts those lines in the road for a reason. Can I point out to you, whatever you might think about preaching, and I'll just close with this thought, God likes it. God likes it. You know what I've learned to do? I've learned to go, God, I don't understand you. Can we, let's just be honest for a moment. A guy picks up sticks on Saturday in the Old Testament. God says, kill him. A man murders a guy and commits adultery and God lets him live. Now, I could give you my speculation. I can give you the best answer I've got, but I'm not God. God doesn't always make sense. But I've learned to say, God, help me to love what you love and help me to hate what you hate. God, help me to, Lord, I don't understand you, but Lord, I would love to see this through your eyes. God, I want to love what you love. And God, if you love preaching, then I love it. Have you, come on, let's be honest. You get up and sing some of these songs. Some of you that are, you know, maybe got saved in the last year, do you think 5 years ago you'd see yourself in church on a Sunday morning with your family singing out of a hymnal? You say, what happened? The preaching of the Word of God in your life happened.
Amen.
Can I say this? If you're young, you're about to make a lot of decisions in your life coming up that are life-changing decisions. Some of our young people, you need preaching. If you're single looking for a spouse, you need preaching. If you're single and you're like, I don't need no spouse, you still need preaching. If you're married, you need preaching. Amen. Can I get a witness? And then if you bring one of those little humans along, a little child, and you have babies and children, you are going to be preaching to not kill them.
Amen.
All right? And listen, regardless of whether you are young, you need preaching. If you're old, you need preaching. If you're middle-aged, you need preaching. It does not matter where you're at in your life. You need the preaching of the Word of God. And I would say this, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to accept that message.
Yeah.
I want to show you something. Look at verse 29 in our passage. After he talks about the base things and the things which are despised and the things that are not. Look at verse 29. You know why God chose this whole thing called preaching? Because everyone goes, this doesn't make sense. This is weird. And God goes, that's exactly why I get the credit. Because if you did it your way, you could point to yourself and go, look what I've done. God goes, here's my recipe. And at the end of it, everybody stands back and goes, huh, not what I expected. How does any of this even work? You know, someone told me when I was still preaching in my house with talk about getting discouraged. I had three families. And this is 2010. And someone said, preacher, you can't preach like that. People will never come to church. And I don't know if he meant well or not. Can't look at his heart. I just know it kind of deflated me. Say, why? Because I was trained and taught to preach. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll leave you with this thought. Can I say, we need more preachers today. I think if God wants you to be a plumber, be a plumber. If God wants you to be in law enforcement, be in law enforcement. If God wants you to be a welder, be a welder. If God wants you to be a machinist, be a machinist. If God wants you to be an accountant, God bless you. All right? Whatever it is that God's called you to do, I mean, do it. But I'll say this, and I'm not going to back off of this. We need preachers now more than ever.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You say, what's going on? Paul is dying. He knows he's about to face death. And I want you to notice in the last chapter of the last book that he writes to a young man who's following him. Here's what he tells him. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to understand, Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. You know, I need you to understand this. When you muzzle the preaching of the Word of God, what that is, you may not see it this way, but that's someone turning their back on what God has told them to do. Because when Paul says, I charge you, it's not before himself, it's before Jesus Christ himself. And notice what he says to this young man in verse 2. He doesn't say educate. He doesn't say enlighten and inform. He doesn't say seize the intellect. He, you know what he says? Preach the word. You know what's going to change your life? When you value the preaching of the Word of God. You know what's going to change somebody else's life? Maybe for you. You know what it might be for you as a believer? It might simply be, you know what, God? I want to take the Word of God when I leave this place and be a better preacher for Jesus Christ. It's been months since I've opened my mouth and told anybody, and how shall they hear without a preacher? That may be what you need to hear. Regardless of what it is, God likes it. So I think we should like it too. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, this morning we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for caring enough about us to bring preachers and the messages brought into our lives. God, thank you for well, the preaching that I've heard that's changed me and that's helped me. And God, the times that I heard it and I didn't want to listen and I didn't want to accept it, God, I'm sorry. Because if it's from your word, it's right, whether I like it or not. God, I pray you to give us a church full of people that have a love for the preaching of the word of God, that they might understand, God, this is why we are here. Lord, to see people's lives radically transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by the words of God. Lord, I can't understand why you did the things the way you did them, Lord. You could have sent angels to do it. You just didn't do it that way. We want to follow whatever pattern you've given us. God, whatever happens in the world, whatever happens in other places, we're not judging other churches, but God, I want you to know, New Heights Baptist Church, we love that book. Lord, we want to love the preaching of the Word of God. Would you help us to embrace it and love it, regardless of how it hits our feelings? God, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they might be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the Lord has dealt with you as the piano plays. I would ask this question. I have to ask this question. Forgive me for those that have been here hundreds of times for services. I've got to ask it again. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd be in heaven with Jesus Christ? I see nods. I see hands coming up. Would you just throw your hand up? Yeah, amen. All over the place. It's awesome. It's a great assurance, isn't it? It's an amazing thing to know that when you put your head on your pillow at night, man, whatever happens, I'm bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. I'm one with Christ. But can I ask this question? If you've never been born again and you're not so sure, and you're kind of like, man, what is that gospel? What is that whole saved thing about? I promise you, the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, and those that are praying here, there's no rush. Take your time. We are so rushed all the time anyways in our world. Just to sit and talk with Jesus for a little bit is a good thing. But let me ask this question. If you are here and you could not raise your hand, would you be honest enough to say, yep, I don't know where I'd go if I died tonight, but I'd like to. I'd like to have that assurance of eternal life. I'd like to know my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know that my life could be transformed from the inside out. If you're here like that, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you be honest enough to raise your hand? I'm not going to point you out. I'd like to pray for you. Is anybody here like that? Heads bowed and eyes closed. By the testimony, what I'm seeing is that this is a group of saved people. What I would say is this. We've got a world that's changing. And we see the church, not necessarily ours, our local church, but the body of Christ at large. The church is changing with the world. And what we're seeing is let's do everything. Let's just trim that preaching down. Let's kind of tone that down. Let's not be too offensive. We need truth today more than ever. Church, let me say it like this. If I get up and preach to an empty room, it is no less truth, but it is less effective. You being here and you hearing the word of God and you accepting it as truth and you making this part of your spiritual diet, it does something for all of us. You are not passive when you sit and hear the word of God. There is something going on of great value. You don't have to prepare the sermon. You just have to come with the ready heart and mind. But God can take that and stir you up and move you to all kinds of things you never thought possible in your life. I can look around the room and I see impossible miracles when I look at some of your faces. I know your stories and what an amazing thing that God's done. You know why he's done it? Two reasons. He was faithful to send the preaching your way, and you were willing to receive it as truth. My encouragement to you is this: never quit doing that. The day you stop, things will change in your life and it will not go in the direction that God desires. As we're wrapping it up, I'll never forget a true story. I knew a preacher that was preaching a message to his church, primarily saved people, about a certain subject in the Bible. It may have been tithing. I have no idea what it was. And all I knew is that there was a lost person there. And that lost person sat there through that preaching, and after the message that had nothing to do with salvation, came up to the preacher and said, "I think I need to be saved." Well, how does that even happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It is a supernatural thing that takes place when the words of God go out and you receive them. Well, we didn't stay overnight till the breaking of the day. So let's consider this a short one, shall we? All right. For those that visited with us again, thank you for coming out. And we do have Bible study Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We are doing a study right now on going back to the beginning in Genesis. That was Jesus' instruction to the Pharisees in Matthew 19 to learn about marriage and the family. So if you'd like to learn about that, we'd love to have you come out Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Our kids will be in Discovery Bible Club. There may have been some fake news on social media that said that we broke a record with the kids that were down there. We were actually two kids shy of the record that we've already set, so I apologize for that. But there was a ton of kids down there. And it was awesome to see them as ninjas for the Lord, amen? So anyways, Discovery Bible Club for the kids, basically kindergarten all the way through sixth grade. That'll be Wednesday night, 7 o'clock as well. I pray that you have a great day in the Lord. If you have questions about the Bible, please do not hesitate to reach out to me if I can serve you in any way. Brother, I'm going to ask, let's see here. Brother Felix, if you would dismiss us in a word of prayer. We hope to see you guys Wednesday night.